morning and welcome to Mid-Morning, what we like to call talk worth talking about. I'm Lynn Ford. Thank you so much for including Mid-Morning in your week. Tomorrow, Dr. Michelle Watson returns with insights on singleness, and she's 50 plus, never been married. She is vibrant, smart. She's heard it all, including what is wrong with you that you've never been married? Life, including single life, can be rich and fulfilling and touched with its own unique challenges. Dr. Watson covers it all tomorrow. Visit the Mid-Morning schedule page for the complete rundown of this week's guests and topics. Today, the relationship doctor, Dr. David Hawkins, keeps his monthly appointment with Mid-Morning. He answers your relationship questions about your spouse, parents, coworkers, kids, whoever it is, including yourself, at about 10:20. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org or Facebook your questions now, either as a private message or a public post, and we'll include them with the phone calls at 10:20. Dr. Hawkins is the author of 30-plus books and has more than 3 decades of counseling experience. He currently conducts marriage intensives at the Marriage Recovery Center, which he founded, and he writes a weekly advice column for crosswalk.com and cbn.com. His most recent book is Never Fight Again Guaranteed, published by Abington Press. We are giving away a copy this hour. Go to the Mid-Morning homepage, click on the Today's Mid-Morning giveaway link, register by 11, and if you're trying to get there from the Facebook page, which you can to register for the book, it says that you're registering for Finding Truth, but you're not. We're trying to correct that, but it's giving us fits and not allowing us to make the correction with the correct book, the actual title. But please know that you are registering for Dr. Hawkins' book, Never Fight Again Guaranteed. We are unpacking a chapter at a time of his book during his monthly visits. Today, it's Chapter 9, The Power of Accurate Empathy. And if you've missed any of our previous discussions, you can catch them on the Mid-Morning Archive. Good morning, Dr. David Hawkins.
You know, I just want to make one note here, Lynn. When you give that bio of me, the 30-plus years of counseling, I want everybody to know I started when I was 12. Okay, so, you know, I'm not as old. No, that's not the truth, Lynn.
Well, you were a prodigy. We all know that.
All right, good to be with you. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. The chapter that we're focusing on today is about empathy, and it begins with a look at the venom of contempt, which is both an attitude and an action. Why start this chapter with contempt? And we know that it is one of the most destructive forces. In fact, Dr. John Gottman, who is the expert that the experts follow, says that there are two things that really contribute to a marriage staying on track: kindness and generosity. One of the key things that will get it off track, contempt.
Well, absolutely, Lynn. You know, I've got a cliche. I didn't make it up. I found it somewhere. Hurting people hurt people. Mm-hmm. So when we're hurting, we have this attitude that goes before us. It's like armor that we carry, this contemptuous armor. You know, we've been hurt, and so out of that hurt, we encrust our hearts with this armor where we're attacking, where we're on the onslaught, where we're guarding ourselves against ever being hurt. And so, unfortunately, you know, all that stuff that we carry that protects us also stops us from feeling that empathy that we've got to be feeling for our mate in order to really connect with them. So we've got to look at that. We've got to own it. And you can see in this story, it's really a very subtle kind of armor that this couple wears. But boy, oh boy, does it stop them from connecting to each other.
Well, the responses to contempt, none of them are productive. They are protective, but they're not productive. So you can fight back, you can withdraw, but you're not engaging in a healthy way. And you write that we feel only our own pain. We see only through our own eyes. If we could, you know, and believe only our own beliefs, what we think and feel, and those things prevent us from embracing or being able to have what you call not just empathy, but accurate empathy.
Well, I am really, really excited about this topic, Lynn, the topic of accurate empathy. I want to quote another famous author. He is deceased, but Scott Peck. Many have read his book, The Road Less Traveled, and he came up with this incredible tool called bracketing, where in order to accurately listen and accurately empathize with our mate, we must take our own agenda. We must take our own thoughts. We must take our own emotion and set it temporarily aside so that we can truly attend to this other person, our mate. And Peck was just, this is a brilliant, brilliant insight, by the way. And I would encourage everybody to think about this. We must set aside our own reaction, all the stuff that's going on inside of us. Not get rid of it, not obliterate it, set it aside so that we can accurately tune into our mate. And that force of accurately tuning into our mate brings intimacy and connection. And so without that bracketing, without setting aside, without pushing away what we think so that we can attend to this other person, there cannot be true connection. So accurate empathy is powerful, it heals, and we have to learn it if we're going to be in true relationship.
Well, before you even say you have to learn it, you have to want to learn it. And that takes incredible emotional maturity. I think it takes supernatural maturity. It comes with being transformed. Your friend Chuck was really, when I say a master at this,
yes.
This is not just what he did, it was who he was.
He did. He lived it out. He always amazed me. I worked with him for a number of years before he passed a couple of years ago and passed away. But he was able to just, I don't know how he did it. I mean, he practiced it every day. That's one of the ways he did it. He just consciously practiced it. He was a Christian. So, yes, there was supernatural power working through him. But he was able to not take things personally, by and large. I'm sure there must have been times where he did, where none of us are perfect. But boy, oh boy, I never saw him take anything personally in the 3-4 years that I was had the gift of working with him. So we can get there. We really can. We can accurately empathize with our mate. And Lynn, I want to add something else about accurate empathy. It changes us, not just the relationship, but we are changed. When we understand someone and when we let their emotion wash over us and we are able to do, Gary Smalley years ago, you might remember this, Gary Smalley said, He made a sound. He would go, oh, wow, you know. And he was really impacted by what someone said to him. And I believe we ought to have that same reaction when our mate says, "I'm feeling hurt." Oh, wow! I don't want you to feel hurt. You feel hurt when I. Oh, ah. Okay. And in that process, we are changed, and then again, connection happens.
This is a matter of getting a new habit going, because if we have not been doing this, then it's a matter of really having a new default set. So give us, if you would, Dr. Hawkins, a practical way of, in the midst of whether your disagreement is emotion driven, it's really heated at that moment, or whether it's just one that is an expression that there's no arguing going on. It's just telling your spouse what you feel. How do we do that?
Well, so Christy, my wife, she comes to me, let's say, and she says, this is a true story. She wanted to travel back east to visit our kids, and she had already been gone for a while, and now she's going to be gone 10 days again. And my first reaction is, wait a second. What about me? Wait a second. I'm going to be left home alone. I mean, I had all that stuff going on in my brain. I don't want to be left alone. Wait a minute. You've already been gone. I've got all this chatter going on within me. And so it does. It's an act of the will. It was an act of my will to remember, wait a second, she wants to see her granddaughter, who is precious and dear to her. Oh, okay, now I can feel a little bit of empathy there. Oh, wait a second, but I'm going to be left alone. Bracket, David. You know, she loves you, and she's going to meet me in Mexico. That's a true story, too. So it's not all bad here. Anyway, she's going to meet me in Mexico in exactly 8 days. And so, oh, yeah, and she reminds me of that. Okay, all right. She She loves me. She's connected to me, but she wants to see her granddaughter. I can understand this. All this understanding, let it wash over me, and now I'm changed and I can have, okay, I'm going to quote Gottman, what you brought up, Lynn, generosity and kindness. I can get there. I can get there. I had some speed bumps. I had a little bit of, wait a minute, what about me? What about me? What about me? But I was able to get there, and I can remind myself, wait a second, you're going to enjoy connection with Christy. You're going to enjoy intimacy, and Christy's going to thank you for being generous and kind in encouraging her to go and see her granddaughter, and you're going to celebrate that with her. So there it is. It's a little bit mucky. I got a little dirt on me with the, going through those speed bumps. I caught a little air, but I was able to get there. Well, you know, I wish I could just say, oh, sure, honey, yeah, go, and, you know, no worries. No, there's speed bumps here. But through emotional maturity, some people are going to laugh there. Do you really have that, Hawkins? Anyway, I'm striving for it, and so it's good.
I love that phrase, I caught a little air when he hit the speed bump. I know exactly what that is. I have two questions for you based on what you just shared. First of all, do you tell Christy when there's an area where you're having some difficulty? Like, for instance, when you were just sharing that story, if your first inclination is when she tells you something you're not going to like, to sort of jump off the deep end, what about me? Do you ever say to her, you know, when you tell me something that's going to cause me to have to give something up, or it's going to change, you know, kind of the rhythm of my world, I tend to automatically think of all the worst case scenario. I'm telling you that, Christy, because I want you to help me if I jump there too fast. Because I think sometimes we think we're doing this alone in our relationship with our spouse, and we've got all this kind of monkey chatter in our own heads. And if we would just kind of let them in on it, they could really help us.
You know what? I don't typically, but that's a fantastic idea. I wish I would have come up with it myself, because I absolutely believe in that, Lynn, that we're in this together and we can figure it out. And when we're vulnerable, healing comes not from hiding, but in being found. Mm. So healing comes when I'm able to share that out loud. When we share from our most vulnerable self, boy, this is worth the price of your whole broadcast right now, what I'm saying, Lynn. This is cool stuff. That when we're vulnerable, if I were to share with Christy, oh, you know what, honey, that threatens me. It really threatens me. Just bear with me. I'm going to get there with you, but give me a minute or two. Now, fortunately, I've been practicing this. This chapter is one that I'm just practicing all the time. So when she immediately said that, fairly quickly, I would say within seconds, I was able to push my own reaction aside and go, I mean, Christy is so generous in her own spirit. So she does it right too. She says, you know, I want to go back east. I want to visit Maisie, is our granddaughter. I want to visit her. But she'll quickly add, you know what, but, you know, 7 days back there, and then we're going to go to Mexico, and I'm going to be there with you. So anyway, to your point, yes, it's always a great idea to be vulnerable. Boy, that threatens me a little bit. Give me a second. Let me just breathe, and I'm going to be able to support you fully. That is so wonderful, Lynn. Share that with your mate. Be in something together, but with your vulnerable self, not a critical voice, because a critical voice is not our most vulnerable self. But when we say, I feel threatened, I feel just give me a minute while I catch up, and it's going to be fine. That is just a powerful, powerful tool, and well done.
Not taking offense. That's not about ignoring, or it's not about stuffing the reality of being hurt or something that somebody says that, you know, that you was just snarky or whatever. I want to dig into that just a bit, because somebody might interpret not taking offense as just sort of brushing aside anytime somebody hurts you or disappoints you or whatever.
Well, it's not taking things personally, and so much has been written about that. So we take an offense, something tweaks us, and so something hurts us, and that is going to happen. We're all just human, and we've got a history of being hurt, and so many of us are going to be triggered by certain things. In fact, this event back to this event of her going to Minneapolis, it did trigger me. It triggered a little bit of abandonment, triggered a little bit of me being left alone, triggered a little bit of me having a sense of, wait a second, why are you doing this to me?
Are you still there? I believe we've lost Dr. David Hawkins. And he's probably sharing a great point right now, but it's going into the wind and none of us are catching it. So we're going, I'll tell you what, Bex, if I hang up, will you call him back? And in the meantime, I'll do some mid-morning talk, not just filling your time, but stuff you want to know. It's 10:16. You're listening to Mid-Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. It's Monday. And on this first Monday, actually the first Monday of the month, we are talking with Dr. David Hawkins. He's known as the relationship doctor. And he joins us the first Monday of the month to unpack a topic related to relationships. And then at about 10:20, we open the phones and email and Facebook. And you can ask anything that you would like about relationships. So it could be a continuation of the topic we've got going, or it could be about what is going on in your life right now that's causing you a little bit of difficulty in whatever relationship that is. Mid-Morning Live at WBCL.org. Facebook is another way that you can ask your questions this morning. And you can do that as a private post or a public message, and we'll include them with the phone questions at 10:20. Thanks for listening today. Again, Dr. David Hawkins is our guest. And you can head to the Mid-Morning page right now to register to win a copy of his book, Never Fight Again, Guaranteed. We're giving away one copy, and you have until 11 to register. Dr. David Hawkins, are you back? Oh, wait a second. We need to get him on the slider. He's on. There you are.
I'm on.
We lost you.
The wonder of phone lines.
You know, they are for the most part reliable, but every once in a while, I'm sure that, as I said to the listeners, he's probably sharing a wonderful insight right now, but he's speaking into the wind and we can't hear him.
It was not taking things personally.
Yes.
And the importance of having that in your tool chest, and that you must have it in your tool chest. So I invite everybody, all of our listeners, let's all grow. Let's grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, but let's also grow up emotionally. And that means remembering people aren't trying to hurt us. They're not. They're really not. And so if we remember that, you know, they're looking out for themselves. They've got their own agenda. And it may at times not include us. And we may get pushed to the side a bit, but that doesn't mean that they're sitting up every morning going, let's think about how to push this person aside. Not happening. So you're not that important.
I think, too, it's really helpful to ask. And I don't know that many people do that, but years ago, I finally started doing that. And people are surprised when you say things to them like this. Did you mean to say this? Because this is what I heard. And for the most part, the answer is, no, I didn't. I didn't mean to say that. Is that what you heard? And if they did mean to say it, then at least it's out in the open and you've got a chance to talk about it. They may not want to talk about it, but at least the truth is there.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. I think for me, for the most part, what I practice is just reminding myself, this is not about me. And I think you can just generally believe that. It's not about you. They're acting, you know, I think it was Stephen Covey or somebody said, you know, if we truly understood a person, if we took the time to your point, ask the question, or really understood where are they coming from. Christy, why are you choosing right now to go back to Minneapolis? You know, you were just gone for a while and you know that I might miss you. I mean, she's got a reason for doing that. And it's not going to be, well, you know what, David, I thought I wanted to get away from you for a while. She's missing her grand. Anyway, we take the time to understand and to reflect and to remind ourselves it's not about us. And if we ask for what we want, well, honey, would you please call me when you're back there? And are you really looking forward to Mexico with me? And so anyway, we can take care of ourselves in so many ways, and things can be good.
What's your question for Dr. David Hawkins this morning? Now is the time to call 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090. email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. Facebook is another way that you can ask your questions. Dr. Hawkins, do you hear that rattly noise?
I don't.
Okay, it's on our end then. I don't know if you saw the film Singing in the Rain, but it's about when silent films went to talkies. And so there was this kind of scatterbrained actress, and they had her mic'd, but she would run her pearls over the microphone, and it made that same noise, and she just never could catch on that she was doing it. So I'm glad to know that it's not on your end, that it's just on ours, so we can deal with that. 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. Facebook is another way to ask questions. I had let Dr. Hawkins know about an encounter with one of our listeners off the air after his previous show, and I've mentioned it on Dr. Cruz's show, but I'd like to ask Dr. Hawkins, not to sort of beat a dead horse here, but to ask a helpful question. For those of you who sort of missed that encounter, there was a gentleman who called after Dr. Hawkins' last show when he talked about walkaway wives. And for this gentleman named Steve, his wife, when Steve got home from work that day, said, please go to the, she didn't say please, I want you to listen to this interview I heard. To what Dr. Hawkins had to say. Well, the setup had Steve a bit defensive to begin with, that conversation with Dr. Hawkins on the air caused a heated argument with Steve and his wife, and Steve said that he and his wife had been arguing every night since then, and he was going home that night, and he knew they'd have the same argument. So he was very upset with what Dr. Hawkins had said and felt that he was blaming husbands for wives walking away and had some other things. Anyway, my question to you, Dr. Hawkins, is this. When anybody hears anything, whether it's on our show or somebody else's show, a piece of information that they want to tell somebody else about, that they want this person to sort of listen to and make adjustments to, whether it be helpful for them or the relationship, what's the best way to approach somebody with, hey, you could benefit from this conversation?
Well, you've already implied it, Lynn, and that is the setup is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to paint a picture here, and I hope people can get this. When we make a point to our mate, it's likely to have a point, and it's likely to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So since that is the case, we have got to be really, really careful when we go to our mate and say, I've got something I want to share with you. And so we've got to build that place of trust and caring. And our mate has got to know that we have their best intentions in mind, that we're holding them. We've got a healing container built. So healing, I'm using a little bit of psychobabble, folks. Bear with me. But a healing container.
Well, don't call it psychobabble. Just say I'm using a lot of professional language here.
There you go. Thank you. I set myself up there. No, good point. I will not use that term again. So I'm using terminology here, a healing container.
Yes.
Meaning, hello, Lynn. I trust you. You trust me. You know I care about you. I know you care about me. Now I'm going to share something with you. Are you in a place to hear it? Now, I stopped and italicized my words because I want you to know something's coming. Fair enough. I want you to know I care about you. Fair enough. And I want you to know I have some things that I want to share with you that could be hurt, that you could be hurt by.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all of that has to happen. If we just walk in the door and go, you know what, I heard a broadcast today and I want you to listen to it, that's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. So you've got to have the healing relationship built. You've got to be soft and gentle in your approach. And then you've got to encircle all of that with caring and respect and love for that person to be able to hear it.
Do you start with what you took away from it? How
that'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be great. Sorry, I jumped in there. That would be absolutely great. You know, here's what I learned, and here's what I would like you to hear from it. I'd like your impression. I'd like to talk about it. But again, please hear that we've got to have a relationship. We've got to have a connection going. So this is so crucial when we're adversarial. So if, Lynn, if you and I have been fighting, if we're already at odds with each other,
mm-hmm.
and then I say, Lynn, you know, I want you to listen to this broadcast, that will never, never go well. Strong words, I know,
mm-hmm.
but it will never go well because we're already adversarial, and I'm asking you to listen to a broadcast? Well, come on. I know that you're good. That I'm going to be making a point here. It's going to hurt. So take the time to build the relationship, take the time to develop a caring environment, and then it's going to go much, much better.
And this is true whether we're talking about a marriage relationship or a friendship,
yes,
or your relationship with your mom or whomever.
Yes.
It applies to all of that.
Absolutely. And people don't do that. They just blurt things out, and they forget. They forget Ephesians 4:29 about not letting any unwholesome word come out of their mouth, except that which is fitting for building one another up according to need. So all of our words must be wholesome. They must be laced with gentleness and kindness, even words that could hurt,
mm-hmm,
even words that could cut a bit. But we've got that responsibility, and people don't do it, Lynn. And thus, it really is an ongoing fight. And so they use a broadcast, or they use a book, or they use scripture to hurt each other. And they think that, you know, I just sent my husband 15 scriptures for him to think about today on how to treat me. Yeah, that's going to go well. Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. So, watch our motivations, watch how we're sharing something, gentleness, kindness, let those, generosity, let all of those be our guiding forces.
260-745-9090, 260-745-9090, email midmorninglive@wbcl.org, Facebook is another way to ask your relationship question of the relationship doctor, and don't forget, you have a relationship with yourself, so that could be a question as well. We're giving away a copy of Never Fight Again Guaranteed. Just head to the Midmorning homepage to register by 11 to win a copy. We had a call from a listener, Dr. Hawkins, who wants some clarification on your comment that people don't intentionally hurt us. She says, people do intentionally come against us, and Satan will use people to challenge us. Speak to that, if you would.
I think there are times, listener, that people do say things. Certainly, they're coming out of their own hurt. But the key point I'm making is, do they get up in the morning and say, you know what, I want to hurt this individual? Are there people that do that? Of course there are. But by and large, people are talking out of their own hurt. We're impulsive creatures generally, and so we're not generally intentionally saying, I want to hurt this person. It's our own hurt that we're speaking out of. So yes, you're correct. There are people at times who will be thinking, you know, I'm just gonna, I don't like what that person is doing. But again, even listen to that. I don't like what that person is doing. Where am I coming, mm-hmm, from when I say that? I don't like what that person is doing. I am feeling hurt. I am feeling wounded. I am feeling threatened. And so I'm going to then, okay, critical that we understand that sequence. I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling hurt. I am feeling threatened. So therefore, I'm going to, so I know I'm parsing words here. Yes, yes. When I'm hurt, I'm going to hurt you. But again, even when we're wrong, Lynn, about this, even when we're wrong, studies have shown that if we will take on an attitude of people aren't trying to intentionally hurt me. Now, even when I'm wrong and they really are trying to intentionally hurt me, I'm going to go through the world much easier if I assume that they're not. So, mm-hmm, a benign approach is the better way.
Well, and that doesn't imply that you're not going to be discerning, because you are. But your approach says, for the most part, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt. But you also engage your brain to know when somebody is acting in an intentionally evil and hurtful way. I want to stick with this for just a moment, and then we've got some emails to get to. This whole idea of dealing with your feelings, when something happens to us and we react to it, we've got an emotion that's going on here. I don't know that we're in a time where we are actually dealing with those kinds of things ourselves. We tend to put our reactions out there. We might put it on Facebook, or we might tweet about it or whatever, rather than just sort of sitting with what just happened, you know, and processing it. And not everything needs to be made public, you know. So I think that's part of maturity, that you can handle life on your own without having to have everyone else, you know, give their opinion on what you're thinking and feeling.
Oh, I think there's so much wisdom in what you said, Lynn, and taking time to process what's happening inside of us. And it's so very difficult because we're interacting with someone, so we've got this all this stuff going on in real time, and we've got stuff. This is one of the limitations of radio. I'm pushing a hand toward you. So, Lynn, you and I have stuff going on between us, but then I've got a hand going up and down within me. So as we're interacting, we've got to be thinking about, okay, what's going on inside of me? What's going on inside of me? What's going on between us? What's going on between us? You know, we've got all of this stuff going on. And so, again, back to Gottman and other researchers, they say, go slow. Slow everything. There's nothing in the world wrong with asking someone if they can just slow things down a little bit while you catch up emotionally. So I think it's a wonderful tool just to keep everything slow, not to mention the value that it keeps us regulated emotionally, regulating our emotions. So we've got to be doing that simultaneous to actively listening. So regulating emotion, regulating our own inner self and what's happening with us while we're listening to another person. We've got to be doing that if our interactions are going to go well.
Well, think about the people that you admire that have a strength and a peace about them. That comes from a deep relationship with the Lord. That comes with trusting that your life is in His hands. And He's going to work things for your good, which is your transformation. And that leads to maturity. That leads to love of other people, which is in allowing offenses that need to be let go. All of those things. I mean, Proverbs 31:25 says that she is clothed with dignity and strength, and she laughs without fear at the future. You know, that's what we're talking about here. And those are the kinds of things that are done in the quiet of the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and you can't microwave that. It doesn't happen fast. It comes in the little moments of life when you say yes to Christ and yes to the mature decision.
And it always amazes me, Lynn, when I am with someone who has that kind of gentleness of spirit. You can sense that the peacefulness inside of them. They're peaceful. They've prayed things through. They've put things in order within themselves, and so they're truly able to be with you because they've got their own stuff kind of worked out, and they're gentle and they're peaceful and they're generous and they're kind, and you can tell them. You can tell them apart from people who are agitated and upset and are really wrestling with life and wrestling with people. So I agree with you completely.
260-745-9090, 260-745-9090, email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. Facebook is another way that you can ask your question of the relationship doctor. This is from Tia, who writes, how do you teach your children to not take things personally? I have a 10-year-old daughter who takes everything personally in regard to her peers. She's also very defensive toward my husband and I when we correct her in any way.
Yeah, I watched that in motion yesterday with my son and my grandson. And he had a little tool. It was fun to watch him. So he was correcting my grandson, Caleb, whom I adore. Hello, Caleb. Shout out to... He's not going to hear this, but anyway. shout out to my grandson. So anyway, Joshua, my son, was saying to Caleb, correcting him, saying, now I want you to tell me what happened, and I want you to begin with the words I... Because he had an interaction with his sister, and you know the words were going to be she,
yes.
So he's teaching them to start with I. What did I do? What was my part in this thing? And I just sat back and I marveled at that tool right there. If we can look at what's my part in this? What am I feeling? So that's what you can teach your kids. What is your part in it? Little child, what are you feeling? What's going on with you here? Rather than it's so easy to get into, well, she hurt me, he hit me, he did this, he did the blame. It's all about them. And no, let's talk about what's happening inside of you and taking responsibility. So the tools would be taking personal responsibility for what's happening inside of you and being aware. I'm going to go back to the most vulnerable self concept, Lynn, being aware of what's happening inside of you. It's okay to feel, to personally, here's taking things personally, but taking responsibility. I felt hurt when that person did such and so. Okay, well, let's unpack that. Okay, why are you hurt? What is it about what they did that was hurtful to you? And then you can kind of look and look on a grander scale at, well, okay, wait a minute. What do you think they were doing that caused this feeling inside of you? And anyway, it's all about unpacking, putting things in the proper order, and making sense out of it.
That's such a sensitive age, 10-year-old girls, and you're very much aware of the peer group and their friends around and wanting to fit in. I think what's also helpful is to teach our kids to ask for stuff, you know, rather than waiting for, you know, a friend to invite them over. Like if her daughter would say, well, you know, Beth had a party and she had a sleepover and invited, you know, Caitlin, but, and didn't invite me. Well, you know, her daughter took that very personally. Well, she could say to her daughter, you know what? You can have friends over too. Why don't you call and ask? At that age, you're waiting for things to happen. And so you kind of view life through the lens of life happens to me, and rather than I can have my life too.
Yes. And I love the love and logic tool of challenging children to figure out what are they going to do now.
Mm.
So what are you gonna do about this?
Yeah.
So you're feeling rejected. You're feeling hurt. Okay. What are you gonna do? Well, it's just not fair. Yes, I know you can have that reaction, but so how are you going to handle this? Always challenging children to grow and move through a problem and letting them know that they can. I'm really excited to see what you're going to do with this. I know it was hurtful not to get invited to the party. What are you going to do now? What are some ideas that you have? So we're just challenging them to think and to feel, and the same can be done with us.
I was going to say, that's so helpful with adults.
How are we going to handle this? How are we going to, okay, yes, this incident has happened, and yes, we're feeling this and we're feeling that. What are we going to do now? Rather than just sitting, well, I'm going to sit here and feel sorry for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so good. Let's think about a solution so we're keeping our children and ourselves solution-focused.
Yes.
Moving forward and looking on a positive. What's a way that we can make something out of the situation?
This is really helpful if you've got a friend who continually comes to you with problems in her life or his life, and even when you offer some really good advice that you think everything is met with a reason why it's not going to work. So for you to say, when they tell you all these things that have gone wrong, rather than offering advice, to say to that person, what are you going to do? That sort of stops everything right there, doesn't it?
It really does. It stops them, and we get our brain gets the message, oh, yeah, there is something I can do about this. And there always is. There's always something that we can do about a situation to move it forward and to cope and to adapt effectively and maybe even do better than coping and adapting. We can really solve a problem. What's the problem to be solved here? Sometimes we say the problem is out there. Well, the problem to be solved is they've got to treat me differently. Well, no, that's not. You don't have any control over that. So this is again. Here's some more tools for folks. You know, if we put the problem out there, you know, they're doing something to me, then I don't have control over that, and I'm going to be stuck. But if the problem is, wait a second, they're doing something, it's hurtful, and I have some choices about this, and I'm really the one who can decide how this impacts me and what do I want to do from here, that's very, very, very empowering.
Absolutely.
That's exciting stuff.
It's 10:39. You're listening to Mid-Morning. Dr. David Hawkins joins us the first Monday of each month. He's with us today. We begin each show talking about a chapter of his latest book, which is Never Fight Again, Guaranteed. If you've missed those previous conversations, you can catch them on the Mid-Morning Archive. And we're giving away a copy of Dr. Hawkins' book. You have until 11 o'clock to register on the Mid-Morning homepage. 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090, email midmorninglive. live at WBCL.org. Facebook is another way that you can ask your relationship question for the Relationship Doctor. Let's go to the phones. Line one wishes to remain anonymous. Line one, good morning. You're on the air with Dr. David Hawkins. What would you like to ask him?
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
I have a friend that I met about a year ago, and he's kind of wanting to more or less have a relationship, but he thinks that involves kind of crossing that line. And I have told him several times that he is a Christian, he professes to be a Christian, and he always seems like he wants to always cross that line. And I said, you cannot do that because that is against what God says in his word. And I don't know how, you know, basically, am I going to have to just tell him, if you do get into fortification, that will kind of take you to hell.
Carla, are you saying that he wants to have a sexual relationship with you?
Yes.
Okay, and is he involved in pornography?
No.
Okay, so he wants to have a sexual relationship with you.
Yes.
Do you want to pursue this relationship? Does it look to you like this could be
no.
a marriage? Okay.
No.
All right, so you just want to be his friend?
Yes.
All right, Dr. Hawkins?
Yeah, I'm going to give you some very simple counsel, simple but maybe not so simple to carry out. So I think the mistake, if I'm hearing it correctly, the mistake that you're making is trying to talk him into respecting this line. You know, can't you see that? Don't you know that? Have you read the scripture that says that? So you're doing way too much talking, way too much trying to explain your situation, trying to talk him into honoring this line. There's a scripture that says, let your words be few, and I would like you to give you that tool, and then the other tool is sharing from your emotion. So your emotion might be feeling disrespected. I presume that you're feeling disrespected. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, there you go.
And
there
it's
you
so go. Wrong, and you know, I have been raised it's wrong, mm-hmm. and he was kind of telling me how he was raised in a... And I'm not saying this is a bad way because I have a lot of friends that are Catholic, but that's how he said he was raised, and I don't agree with that. I just am trying to stay away from this, but I'm trying to be a friend, and I don't know if it's going to work being a friend.
Okay, hang on, Carla. Go ahead, Dr. Hawkins.
You're talking way too much with him. You're debating with him. You're wrangling with him. You're trying to convince him of something. It really is. You've got to be much simpler than that. It is. I'm going to call him Joe. I don't know his name, of course. It really is looking at Joe and saying two sentences. Joe, I'm feeling really disrespected. I've told you. This might be three. Sorry. Joe, I'm feeling really disrespected. I've told you I'm not going to engage in a sexual relationship. I really expect you to honor my feelings of disrespect and to make amends for that, in fact, and to not bring up this topic again. Now, that's it. Were he to bring it up again, you would repeat it with more intensity. Joe, I am really feeling disrespected. We talked about this 3 days ago. I told you I'm not engaging in a sexual relationship. I expect you to honor that boundary. That's it, caller. You know, that's it. 3, 4, 5 sentences. I thought I could do it in two. I couldn't. But sorry. So you'll bear with me there. You'll be forgive me for 5 sentences. But if you go beyond that, you're not honoring your boundaries. If mm-hmm. you're not certain of yourself. So when we're certain, when we act in conviction, we look at someone with the eyes wide open and go that bug-eyed kind of look and go, are you kidding me? I'm feeling really disrespected, Joe. I am not engaging in a sexual relationship.
Right.
I expect you to honor that boundary.
Well,
period.
I see myself sometimes getting angry.
Well, caller, I would back up even more.
I was just telling him, you know, I'm here. If God sends me a Christian man, that's one thing. He's going to have to put him in my face. But, you know, right now, my whole thing is serving the Lord.
Well, caller, you've said that you like this guy for a friend. You're certain you're certain from your end that it'll never be more than friendship.
No.
So what I think bottom line, you just say to him, I think sex is God's greatest gift to a married couple. That's what I'm waiting for. I like you as a friend. This will never be more than friendship between us. And you've already said things. Sex is for marriage. We're only ever going to be friends. We're never going to be married to each other. And from there on, I would just see him in public. And if he truly wants to be your friend, he will adhere to that. And after a while, you'll know if he really wants to be your friend or if he's just trying to wear you down. And if you find out that he really wants to be your friend, if he does this for 3 months, 6 months, then maybe you guys can have a friendship where you go to the movies or you have dinner out. But right now, you know, being alone with him in your house or his house, this is always going to come up.
Exactly.
You know, so say to him, marriage is for a husband and wife. I'm waiting for that. I think you're a great friend. This is never going to be a marriage relationship. So we're just going to be public friends for a while, and we'll see what happens after that, and stick to it. Whatever argument he tries to take you on about sex and marriage, just come back to those 3 points, and after a while you're going to know this guy's heart by how he behaves.
Right. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Lynn.
Bye-bye
now.
I think sometimes we try to be nice and not hurt people's feelings, that we end up being very indirect and we cause more harm. I'm speaking from personal experience here.
Oh, Lynn, you know, the guys Townsend and Cloud, who wrote the book on boundaries, it's so powerful. The concept is so powerful. And when we're sure of our boundaries, and she does not sound sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's calling as if she's sure.
Right.
But when we're sure, I mean, if you ask me, this is ludicrous, of course, but if you ask me, Lynn, today that you want me to drive my car off a ledge, you know, I mean, I'm going to look at you and go, Lynn, this is ridiculous. I'm not doing it. And if you even bring it up again, I'm not even going to carry on a conversation with you.
Right.
So when we know, but as ludicrous as that example is, when we know our convictions and we're solid on them, then we're in a sure place and we can't be swayed. And so I agree with you. And boundaries have edges. So, you know, if you were to push me off that ledge, I'm going to say, Lynn, I can't be in relationship with you, as you told this caller. So it's her responsibility. We also put that responsibility on other people. You know, this guy is putting pressure on me. Well, indeed he is, but it's our job. And when we get that straight, that's an important thing to get clear within ourselves. It's our job. It's my job not to get pushed over any ledge by you, Lynn. I hope you're not thinking about doing that. Anyway.
No, my job is to pull you back from the edge, as my husband's job is with me.
There you go. So, but it's our job to be sure of our own convictions and to monitor those boundaries, to monitor them. You got to guard them. Guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life. The scripture says.
Yes. We had a caller who wants to know, how do you get your spouse to listen to you and pay attention to you? And I'm not sure if the caller, Dana, do you know, caller male or female? Female, okay. How does this wife get her husband to listen to her and pay attention to her?
Yeah, that's back to the concept that I was talking about earlier about the healing container, or having a relationship where, you know, I'm connected. There's a profound disconnect in that caller's question, meaning she's disconnected from her husband, he's disconnected from her, so they have deeper problems. So it's not a matter of looking at him and saying, you know, my goodness, you know, you've got to listen to me. You know, think about how ridiculous that statement is. You've got to listen to me. I can force you to sit still. I can force you, maybe. I can maybe force you to not interrupt. I can scold you for interrupting, Lynn. But to listen to me, to care about my heart, to care about what I'm really saying, is going to take cultivating a relationship. So that's a deeper question for her. And that's her work, is to cultivate that relationship, spending time with him, asking him what's going on in his world, caring about him, asking him to care about her, reading a book together, doing different things, sitting down for half an hour every night, doing all the things that we've got to do, the small things that we do that create relationship. And when we have relationships,
we do care about each other's point of view.
What are the things that women do, Dr. Hawkins, that makes it hard for our guys to listen to us? I know that, you know, that we tend to sometimes give too many words. Give us some how-tos for this.
Well, you just said one of them now.
I know.
I could get myself in trouble here, but everybody will forgive me, I hope, in advance as I say this. Women, we do need things to be concise. We do need things. There's a couple of very, very basic tools for men. We need things concise, and we need things calm. That's all men, 98% of men. So if you want me to listen to you, you're going to approach me gently. Men out there are going, amen, brother, speak it, preach it, because we want things come to us with gentleness, not with criticism, not with amped up emotion. So if you want me to hear, if you want me to listen, you're going to come gently. You're going to put things in a positive tone. I told Christy at the start of our relationship many years ago, I said, you ask me for anything you want on this planet in a spirit of gentleness and grace. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I will get it for you. I will do everything I can to get it for you. If you ask me critically and criticize me and put me down and I have to fight through all that inner emotion. And anyway, what was your question, Lynn?
advice for how to speak so your husbands can listen.
There you go.
Yeah,
okay, I was answering it, huh?
You were answering it, and my guess is that this wife has a lot of things she wants to say to her husband, and so the idea is to pick one, you know, and maybe the one is, I really want us to be closer, and I'm not sure how to make that happen. I know sometimes I talk a lot. So here's what I'm thinking, one way that could help us.
Yes.
What do you think about that? You know,
you're hitting it. So calmness, clarity, specificity, you know, asking exactly for what you want, mm-hmm. not attaching every issue to every issue to every issue. You will lose us. Even if you're calm and you have run-on sentences that go from one topic to another topic to another topic, our brains just go overload. Mm-hmm. But if you'll just talk to us about one issue at a time, and if you'll ask for what you want rather than telling us what you don't want. You know, I hate it when you watch so much television. We're going to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. We feel threatened. But if you say, you know, would you be willing, can we just, you know, I bought this card game. I would love to sit and play cards with you for half an hour every night. Would you be willing to do that? That's going to go over 1,000 times better than, I don't know why you watch so much television. I don't know why you're playing games on your iPhone so much or whatever it is. So watch how much you say that. And another tool I've mentioned on other broadcasts, Lynn, is women often, and men too, often think they're sharing feelings when they're not. So, I don't feel like you care about me. That's not a feeling. That's a judgment. I don't feel like you spend enough time with me. That's not a feeling. It's a judgment. It's an attack. I feel lonely. Would you be willing to spend more time with me every evening? That's a feeling. You know, I'm feeling unheard right now. Would you mind if I shared a little bit more about what's happening with me? That's a feeling. So I feel like, and I feel that, which is common parlance for us. It's common. We talk that way.
Mm-hmm.
Those are judgments, and then we wonder why our mate is defensive. Last thing, and I'll take a breath here and let you talk, Lynn. If your mate is defensive, it is very, very, very likely that you're doing or saying something that is provocative. Not always. Don't hear me saying always. I know I'm stepping on toes here. But if he's defensive, listen to how you're saying it, when you're saying it, what you're saying. Are you really positive? Are you really asking for something? Are you sharing feelings? Have you built that container with him where he is inclined to listen? Go through those steps and you're going to get a much, much better outcome.
Okay, I think that's the price of the interview today, what you just shared. Seriously,
okay.
That's a judgment. That's the difference between a judgment and a feeling. Thank you so much. Let's go to the phones. And just a reminder, we have 5 minutes left in the show to get to the mid-morning homepage to register to win a copy of Dr. Hawkins' book, Never Fight Again, Guaranteed. I don't know that we'll get to the anonymous caller because we've just got about 3 minutes for the question and the answer. So let's get to Barbara. Barbara, thank you for holding. What would you like to ask Dr. Hawkins?
Well, I just wanted to make an observation from my lifetime.
All right. Barbara, you've got about a minute to do that, all right?
Yes.
Good.
What I've learned is that there's a child alive in each one of us, and that we have to be careful to not let that child rule us in life, that some people never get out of the terrible twos.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word tells us to grow in spirit and in truth. As a Christian, we have that obligation to do that, but those outside of Jesus don't know that. And it was just an observation that I've learned, and that's how I address issues with people. As I think about the child that is in them, the child that may be hurt, how situations may conjure up a memory that they don't even know exists. As children, our parents too are adult bodies, but a child that is very much alive that would truly like to rule, but the child has to grow and to mature, the child within us. That's just an observation, and I really enjoyed listening to your program today.
Well, Barbara, thank you for your contribution. I'm going to have Dr. Hawkins respond to it. Thank you for calling us.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
So I think the top emotional maturity, and there's a child within us.
Yeah, she's saying that sometimes the child in us doesn't mature. You know, they may be chronologically 36,
yeah,
but the inside they're more like 6.
I am passionate about this topic, and I know we've got just moments here. And the topic of emotional maturity is critical. We can't grow up unless we recognize the traits in us that are ungrown or immature.
Mm-hmm.
We can't change something that we don't see. What's the best place to see those traits? Marriage, relationship. That's where we're going to get feedback. Now, unfortunately, the feedback we often get is in a critical form, and so we push it away, and so we never really look at ourselves. And so the answer to your question, we've all got to be willing to grow up. We've got to show up. We've got to go to school, so to speak. Scriptures are wonderful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and we will grow up into the Lord. So we all have to grow up. I agree with you totally, completely. We're a bunch of children walking around, so we've got to learn those traits that are immature. We've got to hold those before the Lord and say, Lord, give me opportunities to grow up, which He will give us. and then we practice healthy, adult, mature behaviors, and that's what it's going to take.
Amen. We're not going to be able to get to our last caller this morning, so for Anonymous on line one, Dr. Hawkins joins us the first Monday of every month, and we always have open phone lines starting at about 10:20, so you can call back next month to ask your question. Back to our caller who asked about getting her husband to listen to her and pay attention. Is there one of your books that would be helpful for her, Dr. Hawkins?
There absolutely is, and I mean, this book, of course, Never Fight Again, Guaranteed, has got a lot of great tools in it, but I wrote another book called Saying It So He'll Listen,
mm-hmm.
and you can go to Amazon, Saying It So He'll Listen, and that's packed full of issues or tools of ways to help your husband really listen and tend to you.
Dr. Hawkins has written more than 30 books, so if there's an issue in your life with regard to relationships, 99.9% sure that there's a book for you that he's written that could give you insight and biblical wisdom for not only addressing that issue with that person, but also with yourself. Dr. David Hawkins, thank you so much for joining us for today's Mid-Morning. Always a pleasure. We've linked to his website, so you can go there to find out more about marriage recovery. Those intensives are done on-site, but also by Skype and also over the phone. So if you are looking for some intense counseling for issues in your marriage that you're having trouble with that aren't being resolved in traditional counseling, you can check that out. Tomorrow on Mid-Morning, the topic is singleness with Dr. Michelle Watson. Again, you'll have a chance to ask your questions, so join us for that. Stay tuned. Ron Schneeman is next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free WBCL.